The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." "Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." The Gospel of the Lord. Imagine for a moment if God were to ask you to ask of him something and he will give it to you. Anything you might imagine. Amazing. That's what he does to Solomon in the first reading. "Anything you want, Solomon, let me know, and I'll give it to you." And Solomon asks for the ability to lead his people rightly. And God says, "Since you have asked for something not for yourself, nor for riches, nor for the life of your enemies," that's an interesting insight into the moment in which Solomon lives. That might have been a logical answer, to take the life of your enemies. He asks for an understanding heart so that he may do what is right. And God gives him the best. The message here, I think, is God's gifts are really large. They're big. So he asks each of us, actually, the same question. "Ask something of me, and I will give it to you." So we get to pick our treasure. Or we get to pick whatever is not our treasure, really, which is going to be our poison, ultimately. But this begins with us in our understanding of what we need. What is our place of need? Just ask the Lord for what you want. Well, as you might imagine, the Wizard of Oz is looming large in my mind this weekend. I've been watching it every night for a number of nights now. In fact, our performance last night was canceled because there was no electricity at Bishop Ireton High School. So it's going to be at 1 o'clock this afternoon. So it's not over yet. We're still doing Wizard of Oz. But all of this, the story of Wizard of Oz, it strikes me as sort of like this gospel parable. I know L. Frank Baum was a Methodist. He wasn't a Catholic. But he had this understanding, I think, of what makes a good story. He uses the story of Jesus. But he begins in this place of need with all of his characters, with this allegory. There is suddenly a girl who is homeless in a strange land. It is a wonderful place, but she wants to go home. And she is given a word of hope when she lands her house on the Wicked Witch. Later in the show, she says to all the characters, she says, "Let me go before I decide I want to stay, because I've made so many good friends here." She has that pull of what is real to her and what is true. She wants to go back. But along the way in her story, she meets a number of beings. And each of them has a particular need, whether it is to become brave, or whether it is to have a brain, or whether it is to have a heart. She meets these people along the way, and each of them are given the word of hope from her that she has received from the good witch, and they become friends. and they join together on this journey. Suddenly this starts to sound like Pope Francis, doesn't it? This journey along the road. And the evil one does what she can to get the shoes that Dorothy is wearing. You don't get the sense that she's actually trying to keep them from getting to their goal, which is the city of Oz. She just wants those shoes. So they come to the doorman at the city of Oz, and he asks them, what do they want? And they say they want to see the wizard. And he says, well, nobody's ever seen the wizard. And then Dorothy asks him, well, how do you know he exists? And then the doorman says, because. He doesn't really have an answer. And then he says, but it's because you're here looking for him, right? He must be because you are looking for him. This is kind of a little bit of theology in disguise. Once the wizard is truly revealed, we have kind of a Christ story in a kind of an unusual way. He chooses to save Dorothy himself, and his balloon takes off, and he is lost in the process. Kind of an ascension image, right? But I'm getting away from the main point that I want to talk about. The message today is about the treasures that they were seeking. They were not things. They were not brains. They were not heart. They were not courage, but they were the capacity to love and to know and to fight the good fight. So now suddenly we come to this story of Solomon in the first reading. Solomon, in his youth, has the wisdom already to be able to ask for whatever is needed to do the right thing. What would be the treasure that you might ask of God? And upon finding it, would you give everything away to have it? Surely there must be something. Ultimately, there is a reward. Well, you might say they had it all along, didn't they? Because if you watch the story, and I've seen that story all week long, if you watch the story as often as I have, you recognize that the scarecrow was already pretty smart, that the lion ultimately came up with the courage he needed to do what was necessary before they met the wizard, that Dorothy was clearly on her path home, and that the Tin Man was very loving in the whole story. So they already had what they needed, didn't they? Well, it's perhaps that is true, but their own worth was revealed to them in the process. God let them know that they were all they needed. They had everything they needed. You could say the same thing about Solomon, couldn't you? He had a lot of wisdom to be able to ask so wisely as such a young person. But ultimately, it was God who confirmed the truth in him and promised him that there would be none like him before, or ever again. It is God that reveals to us who we are. He knows us better than we know ourselves because he made us and he knows our hearts. He knows ultimately everything that we need. He knows ultimately everything that we would hope to be or become. And he has given us everything we need to make that happen. As long as we listen to him, are attentive to him, and go on that journey seeking him.